Huawei was banned from US telecom networks. China Oceanwide was blocked from buying a major insurance company. ByteDance was ordered to sell TikTok. The US has consistently blocked Chinese companies from gaining ground in the US. Except for one. A giant company worth tens of billions slipped through, which has slowly and secretly taken over an entire industry and even acquired giant beloved Western brands. How did this happen? Is this one safe, or is there something the US government missed? The war between Chinese giants and the US government has been raging for a while, but one of the catalysts was the telecom giant Huawei. A report by the Congressional Research Service stated that, since 2000, the US government has raised concerns about Huawei, citing its ties to the Chinese government and military, sanction violations, theft of intellectual property, and other offenses. They were worried that personal data on US citizens, or worse, the US government, was going directly to the Chinese Communist Party or the CCP. Huawei wasn't going to let this stand given how big the US market was. So in 2011, Huawei sent an open letter to the US government denying their concerns, requesting an investigation to prove there was nothing to worry about. Huawei is a normal commercial institution and nothing more was the ending statement. The US government obliged, but the results weren't in Huawei's favor. The investigation found that Huawei officials sought to portray the company as transparent, but consistently refused, however, to provide detailed answers to support the answers to the questions at the heart of the investigation. The committee received almost no information on the role of the Chinese Communist Party Committee within Huawei, or specifics about how Huawei interacts in formal channels with the Chinese government. Tensions only rose from there. In 2014, Huawei was banned from US government contracts. Then, in 2019, the US Department of Commerce restricted American companies from selling Huawei technology without permission. Huawei's 5G infrastructure only raised concerns further. Today, most of the Western world has restricted or banned Huawei's 5G network, including the Five Eyes International Intelligence Alliance. Canada, the United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, and of course, the United States. But telecommunications isn't the only industry that concerns the United States. Yet, this acquisition was nothing compared to this next company. We all know the battle over TikTok, but there's something interesting about this case. TikTok was originally made by Musical.ly, which was then acquired by ByteDance. But reportedly, these companies never informed CFIUS of the sale or sought clearance. Naturally, when TikTok began blowing up, the US government soon realized this and became concerned. What did ByteDance want to keep hidden? There were the risks of data collection of US users, but also something else, censorship and even propaganda by the CCP. There were reports of the Chinese government censoring TikToks about Tiananmen Square, Hong Kong, and the Taiwan election. It's not too big a stretch to believe given how the CCP censors information in China and even in their other Chinese products like DeepSeek. TikTok denied this, but employee interviews and leaks suggested that political content is indeed censored. After many reviews, the US government gave ByteDance the ultimatum, sell TikTok or have it banned. All of these Chinese companies faced extreme scrutiny in the West, yet somehow, one of them has slipped through. A giant multi-billion dollar Chinese conglomerate has acquired many known overseas brands and has faced no interference. How did this happen? With even American brands being run by Chinese companies, how do you know you're not being watched? The whole reason TikTok is potentially getting banned in the first place is because they're suspected of harvesting your data and handing it over. And it's not just TikTok or China. Big companies with poor security like T-Mobile and Equifax are getting hacked every day, leaking your personal information to the dark web, where spammers, scammers, and identity thieves can buy and sell it like candy. And given that the government has been trying to ban TikTok for nearly 5 years and still hasn't done it, it's clear that it's on us to protect ourselves, which is why I'm excited about today's sponsor, Aura. Aura keeps us safe online by doing all the hard work for us. They constantly monitor the dark web and alert you if they find any of your personal information like credit cards or bank accounts. Just a couple of months ago, some hacker charged a bunch of Facebook ads to my credit card, So securing payment credentials has been especially top of mind for me. Aura also helps you remove your personal information from data brokers and the people search sites that sell your data to anyone for just a few bucks. On top of that, the Aura app also includes a built-in VPN with over 100 virtual locations. And if the worst were still to happen, Aura's got you covered with up to $5 million in identity theft insurance. You can get started with Aura for free for 14 days with my special link, aura.com/logicallyanswered. That will be more than enough time for Aura to find out if any of your personal data is exposed and to see if Aura is worth it for you. Stay safe online, guys. Thank you to Aura for sponsoring this video. Haier was originally a refrigerator factory all the way back in the 1920s. It continued a modest business, but was seized by the government after the 1949 Communist Revolution. After decades of consistent failure, debt, and eventually bankruptcy, one man entered the scene, Zhang Rumin. Zhang had extensively studied management in the West and Japan and wanted to see the same success in his homeland. In 1984, Zhang was made the managing director. He wanted to overhaul the company's culture and their priorities, which at the time were not good. Around this time, one customer returned a refrigerator which didn't work. At this point, a refrigerator was a luxury item in China. After seeing this, Zhang began diving into the company's inventory, and he found faulty fridge after faulty fridge after faulty fridge. Of the 400 finished models in the factory, 76 of them didn't work. This was unacceptable. Without second thought, he asked his staff to destroy the broken appliances across the factory. He cried out, "If we pass out these 76 refrigerators for sale, we'll be continuing a mistake that has all but bankrupted our company. Destroy them." His employees, sledgehammers in hand, began smashing the faulty refrigerators. This moment marked a new beginning for the company. Zhang overhauled the culture and production at a time when Chinese brands were often seen as low quality. Zhang wanted to challenge this belief. He implemented new quality control, and in 1992, the now called Haier Group made history. It was the first company in China to receive the ISO 9001 certification, an international standard of quality. Things were going great, business was booming. They diversified into all kinds of industries, personal computing, mobile phones, and much more. By 1998, sales surpassed $2.8 billion, with 40% of China's refrigerator market share. Haier was now the biggest appliance brand in China, but there was a problem. They had bigger ambitions than just China. They had broken into Asia and the Middle East, but found another roadblock. Their products were good, but their brand wasn't popular in the United States. Not only that, having great manufacturing in China doesn't help overseas given how large and heavy their products are. Shipping becomes extremely expensive. But there's more. Since the appliance industry had matured, it had very low barriers to entry, so the competitive advantages weren't strong. Haier entered fairly easily, but taking ground is an entirely different game. Every year, GE and Whirlpool add features, grind down operational costs, fine-tune their supply chain, renegotiate their buyers, and so on. Unless one of them stumbles, it's really hard to take market share. Haier was simply unlikely to win organically anytime soon. They had two options: compete with the crowded, saturated Western markets, slowly growing the Haier brand, if at all, or something else. They decided to take another route. In 2012, Haier acquired Fisher and Paykel. This was an innovative appliance brand in New Zealand, but compared to the other giants, fairly small. The takeover was a great success, so Haier began their next move. In 2016, the Haier Group moved to acquire GE Appliances for $5.4 billion. This was an old, iconic, and trusted American brand. You might not know them by name, but I'm sure you recognize their logo. The news caused quite a stir. The question was, would the US government allow it? It had just recently blocked Huawei from major contracts. But what about Haier? Not only that, staff at GE were concerned. There were huge rumors saying that everyone's pay is going to go down by 20%. But in March of 2016, the Department of Justice completed its review of the transaction and, surprisingly, approved. The deal was completed in June that year. But what about staff? Well, something interesting happened. reportedly the reward structure actually improved. Extra bonuses were made available to all staff based on performance. There was no going backwards. Now, even if you're a finance person who's dedicated purely to the laundry business, that individual's bonus, or at least half of it, is derived specifically from the success of the laundry business. Not only that, but the production lines and work culture was improved. Managers and executives were helping at the assembly lines. That would have never happened in their old model. Not only did Haier have a major US brand, but also production and supply lines in the US. They continued their grand plan. In 2018, they completed the takeover of Kandi, an Italian appliance maker. Haier's global dominance continued to grow. In 2024, they reported revenue of $37 billion, making them the second largest appliance company in the world, ahead of LG and Whirlpool. The question is, how? If the US government is so sensitive to Chinese takeovers, why was Haier given the approval? What was different about Haier? As it turns out, Haier didn't secretly do all this. They went through all the appropriate means and didn't withhold anything like Huawei or fail to report their acquisition like ByteDance. In reality, China Oceanwide, ByteDance, and Huawei all have something in common: the risk of espionage. They all involve personal sensitive data and personal information spanning hundreds of millions of Americans. Not only that, but in 2018, the CCP reported that 73% of private Chinese companies had established party units, meaning members of the CCP inside the company. Out of the top 500 private Chinese companies, it was even higher at 93%. These party members can influence business decisions and ensure companies comply with the goals of the government. Xi Jinping himself said this change was integrating the party's leadership into all aspects of corporate governance. So, what about Haier? Why does the US government draw the line here? Haier is an appliance company. It really was that simple. A washing machine or fridge doesn't raise the same security concerns as telecom infrastructure or social media used by hundreds of millions. The US government just didn't consider Haier as a threat, so it approved the purchase of GE appliances. But something's changed, as there is now a reason to be concerned.
Imagine a fridge that scans your food.
Haier may have slipped through the cracks of an old industry, but that industry has now changed. Smart appliances connected to your phone and the Wi-Fi, which collect data. Fridges, washing machines, cars, locks, lights, security cameras, Alexa, TVs, printers, anything and everything in your home. On the surface, it's pretty easy to see the benefits. This not only adds more features like customizable cooling or remote activation, but can even be more efficient or better for the environment. They can minimize water waste or identify ways to reduce power consumption.
Everything. So really, the Internet of Things, if we embed processing power into common objects, it means that we can extract data and information. Data and information also feed artificial intelligence.
But it might not be as good as it seems.
And we discovered a command that scared me. We discovered you could do this. I could recover your Wi-Fi password from your kettle. So now I'm on your home Wi-Fi network. I can listen to everything you're doing. I can redirect your passwords, your data, steal things, everything, just because you wanted to boil your kettle from your bed.
The more smart devices we have and the more things that collect our data, the higher the risk of privacy. And who's leading the way forward in the IoT? Haier.
Easily monitor and control your refrigerator from your smart device thanks to built-in Wi-Fi and the Smart HQ app, which sends you helpful alerts if the door is left open or service is needed.
Haier's main brand and their subsidiaries like GE Appliances have many, many new smart appliances. For 6 years straight, Haier was recognized as the leading IoT ecosystem brand. Not just providing smart devices, but devices that are interconnected.
We're here in the U Plus Smart Life home, and the key to this is what Haier is trying to do is make your life as simple as possible with just the touch of a button.
So, where's the concern? Well, in Ayn Koka's book, Trafficking Data, she recounts that, "We toured kitchen mock-ups studded with stainless steel devices, and our hosts told us that Haier was now a tech company. Instead of mini refrigerators, we saw connected home appliances with sensors to surveil users' daily lives. The acquisition of GE appliances specifically targeted growth through the IoT. Haier has made good on this goal by delivering an entire line of connected consumer electronics called GE Smart Appliances. The U Plus Connect platform, which collects data through all connected GE appliances and Haier products, makes Haier as much a data company as a consumer products company. I don't want to promote fear-mongering, and it's hard to say how malicious this all is, but from a general business standpoint, it made sense for Haier to buy GE appliances. But there is more to this. Zhang Rumin, the man responsible for Haier's early success, is still the CEO and the chairman of the board. But he is also a member of the CCP. Not only that, he's been a member and supporter for a long time. In fact, in 2002, Zhang was a member of the 16th Central Committee of the Chinese Communist Party. Given how much CFIUS scrutinized Huawei, ByteDance, and China Oceanwide, why not the IoT? Why not Haier? TikTok may monitor scrolling behavior, but Haier can observe you through a network of devices in your own home. A smart fridge isn't just connected to your phone. It can monitor your habits, what food you eat, where you shop, when you shop, and much, much more. That sounds a bit concerning, so why isn't Haier getting the same level of attention? Well, they acquired GE appliances in 2016, when the IoT trend was only just beginning. While Haier might have seen where the industry was moving, the US government was likely concerned with the threats here and now, like telecom and social media. At the time, the threats in appliances were close to none, but now, with their ecosystem, Haier is rapidly advancing into cloud technology and AI. They were even recently named one of the most innovative companies by Fast Company. They definitely aren't the simple appliance brand they used to be. Haier managed to pass the tests and the scrutiny of the US government, but times have changed. The appliance market used to be a stagnant, safe industry, but over time, it's changed into something high-tech and with a deep reliance on the internet, data collection, and more recently, AI. Haier is a titan in the appliance industry. They own Casarte, Leader, GE Appliances, Fisher & Paykel, Aqua, and Candy. These brands are used by millions of people, and more of their appliances are becoming smart. Haier isn't in trouble yet, but should they be? Comment that down below, I'd love to hear what you guys think. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.